Welcome to our preview, I guess, of the upcoming ACC tournament in Greensboro. I'm Crystal Graham, joined by AFP editor Chris Graham.
Yes.
And welcome to our show. We're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming tournament that starts tomorrow in Greensboro. Yes. I know you have a whole team of contributors from Augusta Free Press headed to Greensboro.
Yes, I will be heading down with Scott German tomorrow, and also Daniel Grogan, a photographer, will be joining us by Wednesday night and Thursday when Virginia's playing. But the tournament action tips off tomorrow at 4:30. A couple of games on the first round of action. And boy, it's going to be exciting to see how this goes out. A really interesting tournament field. And I'm not sure that we really have any idea how things are going to go.
Well, you are no stranger to ACC tournaments. And throughout the United States, we've been to Brooklyn. But Greensboro, Tobacco Road is kind of where you love going and seeing the games in action. My question to you is, do you think any of the teams that are playing on Tuesday have any chance of advancing in the tournament and making a run for this?
You know, North Carolina would seem to be the team with the best possibility of that being the case, just because, you know, North Carolina is the 14 seed, which is interesting for me to say that, but they're a team that lost, I think it was 6 games this year by 3 points or less. It's a North Carolina team that, you know, very competitive in a loss to Duke at home, lost in the last second in that game, lost in the last second in a game at home to Virginia as well. And so a team that has had opportunities for success against two of the top teams. I think they also played Florida State well back late in January. So it's a team that nobody really wants to play on Wednesday or Thursday just because you know, they're a team that has capabilities. They've obviously had issues in late game situations a few times this season. But they're going to be a tough team to knock out of this tournament.
So we want to get more insights from Chris Graham. But before we do, we invite you to ask questions as well. In addition to that, we want to thank our sponsor of our coverage of our ACC tournament in Greensboro. And again, another not stranger to Augusta Free Press, our friends at Bear Creek are sponsoring our coverage again this year. They sponsored our coverage all the way to the championship team last year. And of course said they're not sure they're going to get the same results this year, but they're going to take the ride with us. So,
no, I'm not. I don't have the same lack of confidence, apparently, that our good friends at Bear Creek have. This Virginia team, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, more later on, is as good as anybody in the country right now. So we'll see.
They are certainly the hottest team in the country right now with 8 consecutive wins. I think 11 out of 12.
Yes.
You certainly wouldn't want to match up against them in the NCAA tournament bracket. That's for sure. So we do want to thank our friends at Bear Creek. Tired of struggling to get home projects completed? The shortage of craftsmen affects everyone. At Bear Creek, they say, we build cool stuff, but more importantly, we build people. By partnering with Bear Creek for your outdoor living project, you help them train craftsmen that build community and get projects done. More information on Bear Creek and their custom backyard structures is available at www.bearcreek.co. And again, that's .co. So thanks to Bear Creek again for your coverage. And I hope, like Chris, that we can see this all the way through to the Final Four. Where's the Final Four this year?
Atlanta, you know. And thanks to Bear Creek, too. We can make the read a little personal. They built it. We got a deck from Bear Creek on our back porch. And it's changed our lives. It's really transformed in the spring and summer and fall months particularly, but all year round. But in those warm weather months, we live outside in the evenings because of what Bear Creek has done for us. So personal testimonial, great job by those folks there.
Okay, so back to the ACC tournament. We want to talk a little bit about going into this. We want to talk about Virginia, but first of all, Florida State secured the number one seed. I think the big surprise, though, was Virginia securing the number two seed.
Yeah, because Florida State was solid, you know, consistently all season long. And so, you know, credit to that group. It's the first regular season championship, actually, for Florida State. They've won a conference tournament in the past, recent past, but first regular season championship for Leonard Hamilton in that program. And so congratulations to Florida State. As an aside, Scott German and I got to chat for a couple of minutes one-on-one with Leonard Hamilton last year at the ACC tournament, actually on the day of when Florida State actually knocked out Virginia in that tournament. They were the last team to beat Virginia, the national championship Virginia, in 2019. And got a chat with him on the elevator. That's one of the things about staying in the media hotel. You get to have run-ins with in good ways with folks there. Virginia was 4-4 on January 20th in the ACC after a 53-51 loss at home to NC State. Turns out that was the only loss in games decided by 3 points or less by this Virginia team. A 9-1 record in such games. 7-0 since February 11th for Virginia in games decided by 3 points or less, which is just tremendous. It just unprecedented. And in fact, I ran the numbers on Virginia over Tony Bennett's first 10 years. Virginia only won 18 of those kinds of games by 3 points or less. 9 this year. So it tells you that, you know, for those folks out there who are Virginia fans who've been wondering if your tickers are on the fritz because of all these late season games, and no, it's pretty much, we're all doing the same thing as far as that goes. Tony Bennett squeezed more out of this team than any coach could possibly squeeze out of a team to get Virginia to be the number 2 seed in this tournament. Did not see that coming, and tremendous accomplishment for Virginia and the program.
We want to talk about the NCAA tournament, but we don't want to skip over the tournament ahead, the ACC tournament. Of course, we have Georgia Tech not in the tournament this year, so a smaller field. I guess the games are starting a little bit later as a result.
Well, there's one less game on Tuesday as a result, because when you think about tournaments, if there are 14 teams in the tournament, you need 13 games, because 13 teams have to lose their last game to be knocked out. And when there's 15 teams, 14 games have to be played to knock out everybody as far as that goes. So, Georgia Tech not being in the field means that, there's one less game on Tuesday, two less teams who had to play on Tuesday. So advantage is there for those teams that are now the 9 and 10 seeds in this tournament. They avoided having to play on Tuesday. And that just means one less game that you have to win if you want to go all the way. It's not been done in the ACC where a team has won 5 games to win this tournament. We have seen a team win 4 games to win this tournament. Duke did that. One of those years we were in Brooklyn, I guess that would have been 2017, Duke won 4 games to win the ACC tournament. If you have to play an extra game, it's been done. I know at least UConn when they were still in the Big East, won 5 games to win the Big East tournament. I think that was back in 2014, the year they won the national championship. UConn entered that Big East tournament as a team that was on the bubble, probably the wrong side of the bubble for getting an NCAA bid. They took the mystery out by winning the automatic bid and then went ahead and won the whole thing. So it can be done, but it's certainly harder to be done when you have to play on Tuesday.
So Virginia, of course, doesn't have to play until Thursday. Right. I think the 7 o'clock game.
That's correct.
So they'll play the winner of?
They play the winner of Notre Dame and Boston College. That game is at 7 o'clock on Wednesday. And those are two teams. Notre Dame, we remember. If you're a Virginia fan, you remember Virginia won that game in JPJ by a 50-49 final score. It was the start of the 8-game winning streak after the only loss in the last 12, the loss at Louisville. In a game that Virginia, so 50-49 overtime, Virginia did not score a basket in that overtime, scored 3 free throws. And that's another atypical thing in an atypical season for Virginia. The Hoos split with Boston College, lost up in Chestnut Hill 60-53 back early January, and then had their most impressive game of the last couple of months in the win in JPJ, a 78-65 win over Boston College in mid-February. But they have had issues with these two teams. Notre Dame played Virginia very tough. Boston College actually has a win over this Virginia team.
So no question, Virginia is on fire. Would you say they are the favorites going into this ACC tournament, or who would you say are the favorites?
If I had to peg a favorite, it would be Florida State. They're the team that right now, Virginia is, yes, the hot team, 11 wins, 12 games, 8 in a row. But because all those games have been close games, it's hard to say that they're the best team right now. Florida State has, a 9-3 record in their last 12 games. And it just feels to me like if you had to say a favorite again, I'd say Florida State. And I hope I'm proven wrong. I mean, the orange and blue in me, I hope that it turns out that that Virginia, gets a chance to play in that championship game and has a chance to win the championship. But Florida State is going to be likely a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament and a very deep team. Leonard Hamilton likes to play a lot of guys. Some coaches will shorten their benches when they get in the postseason and play 6-7 guys, maybe 5 starters and a couple guys off the bench. Leonard Hamilton will stick with his guns. He plays 10 guys 10 minutes plus a game, and he'll play 10 guys 10 minutes plus a game in the tournament. And what that does for him is it gives him, teams this time of year, have played at least 30 games. Some have played more than that. And it's just wear and tear on your body. But when you play as many guys as he plays, it's less wear and tear. One drawback to that is he's had that kind of philosophy for the longevity of his career at Florida State. The drawback is you don't really establish star players in that kind of system, and it can be an issue in a tournament situation where you don't have one set guy to hit the big shot for you. I think in this situation, I think he's got to be the favorite. Actually, the other favorite I would throw in there, and the Virginia folks listening in, watching live or listening in when we put this as a podcast a little bit later on, will be mad at me for me saying this. I think Louisville might be. And I say that because analyzing the bracket, you look at they're the number three seed. They play the winner of the Syracuse versus either Virginia Tech or North Carolina game. It's likely Syracuse, if you ask me. And Louisville had just one game with Syracuse this year, and they won that game handily by 24 points, 90-66. If they were to play a Carolina or Virginia Tech team on Thursday, that'd be a team that's already played two games in 2 days. So Louisville's got the best shot of getting through the first round that it plays, the quarterfinal round. Virginia has, I mentioned Notre Dame and NC State teams that have had, Notre Dame and Boston College teams that have had some success against this team. Duke would have to likely play NC State, a team that they won by over 10 points, a double-digit win, and then a team that they lost by 22 points to. So up in the air for Duke as far as that goes, getting past the first round. And Florida State may have to play Clemson in their first game of the quarterfinal round, and they've recently lost to Clemson. So when you analyze the brackets, I'm kind of giving Louisville as my number two favorite just from a bracket analysis standpoint. I think that they have a slightly clearer shot of getting to the final than any of the other two teams, Duke or Virginia. So I like Florida State, like Louisville. If I had to go with a third favorite, I'd probably go with Virginia at that stage, the hot team right at this point. But after the top two, and really after the top one, I think it's a wide open. Well, let me even rephrase that. I think it's wide open as far as it goes. But Florida State would be my slight favorite looking at overall.
Shifting gears to Virginia, since, of course, that's who you cover on a regular basis, we look at the fact that Mamadi Diakite, Kihei Clark, they have been hot, no question, pretty much this whole season, especially as you started on this 12-game run, this 11 of 12 wins. What did they need to do to get Virginia possibly in that championship game here at the ACC tournament?
Well, consistent play from those two guys, also from Jay Huff, from Braxton Key. Tomas Woldetensai also will be an important part of this. Woldetensai, when Virginia was rolling there for a bit offensively, there was a stretch over eight games where Woldetensai was averaging 13.3 points a game, 44.6% from three-point range, 46.7% from the field. That's when Virginia was playing its best offensive basketball. Over the last four games, though, he's actually only shot, I think it's 2 of 24 from the field. I have that number in my head, so I think that's right. And he's only hit two baskets and only scored 6 points in the last four games. And as a result, the last four games have been back to those nail biters where, from possession to possession, you don't know if Virginia's going to even get a shot off sometimes. I think Woldetensai is a key. Diakite has stepped up in that stretch, and so has Kihei Clark. In fact, I was making a case for Kihei Clark it was a sort of a tongue-in-cheek case to be ACC Player of the Year just because in the last eight games he's averaged 12.3 points a game, I think it was, and improved his shooting from the field and from three-point range dramatically. Mamadi Diakite is in my opinion, the best two-way player in the ACC. He only averages 13.7 points per game, but Virginia doesn't, as we all know, Virginia's tempo doesn't have a lot of possessions per game, and so if you extrapolate his numbers out to, say, the pace that Duke plays, he'd average, he'd be close to the league leader in average points per game. And he's also, in my opinion, he should have been the ACC Defensive Player of the Year. It's a bit of a miscarriage of basketball justice that he was not named the ACC Defensive Player of the Year today. Jay Huff could be a key in this one as well. Jay, when he's at his best, he is among the best in the country. But unfortunately, he has games where he'll score 2 points and grab two rebounds and play 10 minutes because of ineffectiveness. So consistent play from Huff, continued strong play from Diakite and Kihei Clark, and I think good shooting from Tomas Woldetensai. And Braxton Key, he just does what he does. He's the guy on this team. He reminds me of Jason Williford, the assistant coach under Tony Bennett, has been there for the entirety of Tony Bennett's run. When Jason played at UVA, we called him the glue guy. He just did things. He got rebounds, played defense, passed the ball, didn't make mistakes, and that's what Braxton does. So if you get those guys playing as a unit, I think this Virginia team's ceiling is pretty high.
So outside of the play, there's a lot of fun involved with covering the ACC tournament. You've broken down Virginia very well, and I think covered every question I was going to ask you in that last analysis. But for people who have never been to the ACC tournament, especially as a member of the media, you know, you talked a little bit earlier about how you bumped into a coach in the elevator, but talk a little bit about that. I've been lucky enough to go with you a couple of times to New York for 2 years for the yes. ACC tournament. But for people who have never been there, I mean, you are sitting courtside behind people like John Feinstein.
Yeah. Well, in the 2 years we went to New York, we didn't stay in the media hotel. And we are going to stay this year. Scott and I are going to stay in the media hotel. And so you didn't get that great experience because, of course, the media hotel in New York, you might as well, if we would have had a mortgage or put a second mortgage on our house to be able to afford that. But at Greensboro, it's much more affordable to do those kind of things. And the media hotel is great. I remember Jeff Fife covered a tournament with me back the first time we came back in 2013. And he was all excited about running into Jim Boeheim sipping coffee and reading the newspaper sitting there in the lobby, you know, things like that. Things like last year, Scott German and I down in Charlotte, Scott wanted to get into the heated pool to get some relaxation on, I think it was the semifinal Friday. And working out in the pool was Zion Williamson. He was coming, if you remember, he was still recovering from that late season injury, and all of a sudden there's Zion down there in the pool going through some things just to, you know, kind of get ready for that game that night. There's things like that all the time. Behind the scenes, yeah, you're hanging out with the likes of the John Feinsteins of the world, the America's quintessential sports writer, in my opinion. I remember walking down, going back and getting some of those media snack goodies that you get, and walking back down the tunnel, fist bumping the Cavman, and then 5 feet later, Dickie V's walking out and saying, "Oh my God, this is awesome, baby! This is awesome!" You know, and just it is an amazing scene. And you know, I've actually gotten my hand on two loose balls in the last 4 years. There was one where a shot was blocked, and I didn't just catch it to catch it. I caught it to protect my computer because the Karen was coming out right at my laptop. And last year, rolled a ball back, actually caught a ball and threw it back to the referee, and then had a player land. It was in Brooklyn. So it was the year before. A player landed in my lap. That was in the Virginia Tech Notre Dame game. I'm trying to think of the player, Farrell from Notre Dame. That's kind of hazy, but I remember the picture. Actually, Seth Meganson, AFP contributor, mm-hmm. sent a screenshot within a couple of minutes of that happening, and it was me and Tucker McLaughlin with our eyes real big because that player is getting ready to land on us. So, it's interesting. You really see things differently from the perspective there. For me, as a kid growing up, you know, I used to skip school on the Friday of the ACC tournament quarterfinals back when we only had eight teams in the conference, and Friday was the big day. The rare times you had to go to school. I remember my teachers, as teachers in the elementary school would bring the big TVs in on those big trays, and you know, we would watch the games and have to do schoolwork those days. And you know, I think of those days when I'm sitting there courtside, the kid who grew up watching these games now gets to sit there and be close and write about it, and it just amazes me to this day that people actually care what I write and say about ACC basketball. I'm very fortunate in that respect.
I have a lot of friends and their husbands who are very jealous of your seats at the tournament, but you work really hard. I mean, it's pretty much a morning to midnight kind of thing for you,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. You know this from experience, too. Tuesday this year, tomorrow for us, is only two games because of the Georgia Tech being out of the tournament this year. But then Wednesday, feel sorry for me, folks. Wednesday, we get to the arena probably about 10:30, 10:45. The first game tips off at noon. We will be there, you know, the last game doesn't tip off until about 9:20, maybe 9:30, depending on how late the first game of the second session goes. When you account for post-game work that we do, because we don't leave when the game's over. You know, when I'm a broadcaster, and I do broadcast work for ESPN3, ESPN+, game's over, I go home. Writers, you're just starting to work. So, Scott German and I will do a post-game Facebook Live, and then we'll write some stories, and we'll get start getting ready for the next day. And we won't leave the arena that night until 12:30 or 1. So we start at 10:30. We're there until 12:30 or 1, and then Thursday starts all over again because there's four more games on Thursday. So we're back at 10:30. We'll be there until 12:30 or 1. And of course, for us, Virginia plays Thursday. That's the big game. We're there, you know, the first, hopefully the first of games for Virginia. That means there would be more. By the time Friday's here, so we've already watched at that point 10 games, already watched and covered 10 games. Fortunately, the Friday games aren't until 7 o'clock. You sleep a lot because you're exhausted. I mean, you know, when you think about it, during the season, you cover a game on Tuesday, you cover a game on Saturday, and that's what you do. And then in between, you write stuff about the games that either just happened or are coming up. We're watching 10 games in 3 days.
I remember being in Brooklyn and that Friday when we could have gone into Manhattan and been tourists, you know, and you said, what do you want to do? And I'm just like, honestly, let's get some lunch and let's sleep.
Yeah, we got lunch in Brooklyn and yeah, we went a couple blocks and got lunch.
Exactly, right? Yeah. Yeah, none of that crazy stuff. Okay, so I want to shift gears just a little bit. Obviously, AugustaFreePress.com is your place to come to for coverage throughout the ACC tournament. You'll have photos from Dan Grogan. You'll also have analysis right from Greensboro, from you and Scott German. So definitely tune in to Augusta Free Press throughout the week. We'll do our best to send out newsletters and things of that nature to update you as well. So we just also want to quickly talk about looking ahead to the NCAA tournament. Clearly, at one time this season, Virginia was still seen as a bubble team. That's not the case anymore. Where do you see Virginia falling in the NCAA tournament?
I mean, depending on what happens in Greensboro this week, if Virginia goes out and loses its first game, they might fall to the 7 seed line. Right now, it seems like the consensus from the folks that I'm looking at it from a bracketology standpoint have Virginia as a 6 seed. I've seen as high as a 5 from others. I won't argue with any of that. You know, I think Virginia fans now know too. Virginia, you know, you having the banner up in JPJ reminds you that the most important thing isn't the seed, because from 1 year to the next, we were the number one overall national seed 2 years ago, lost to UMBC. Last year was a number one seed and went ahead and won the whole thing. So, you know, the number beside it when they throw the ball up in the air on the first Thursday game in the NCAA tournament, the records don't mean anything. But they'll probably be between a 5 and a 7, you know. And if they go, and I mean, so worst case, they lose and I think they're a 7 seed, they might fall to 8. I don't know, but I think a 7 seed is probably pretty locked in at this stage. If they go and win a couple games, if you know, they could move back up. I think the ceiling for this team from a seed standpoint, even if they go and win the thing, if they win the ACC tournament, maybe a 4. You know, I mean, it'd be hard to. I would make the point that they could easily, if they win the thing and they're 18-5 in the ACC overall and have won 14 of their last 15 and have won 11 in a row. Man, how can that not be a 2 seed? But I think realistically, if they win out in the ACC, they're probably a 4, and if they lose first round, 7 or 8. But then, you know, I think you made this point earlier, Crystal. I don't think anybody in the NCAA field wants to have to play this Virginia team. You know, they're not as talented as last year's group. Certainly, 3 guys left that team and are playing in the NBA now. But this team maybe has a couple guys who might be NBA prospects. But if you beat this team, and it's, you know, everybody's going to lose their last game except for one team. If you beat this team, it's going to be an ugly process to do so. And you're not going to have fun in the process of doing so. And your fans are not going to have fun in the process of doing so. So, you know, wherever they're seated, they're going to be a tough out when they get to the play starting next week.
So starting next week, we want to mention, of course, that, you know, Chris Graham's written 2 books about UVA basketball. You've written Mad About You, about University Hall, but also about the memories that were there, as well as most recently, the team about last year's Team of Destiny, you know, where you wrote about the national championship win in 2019. So you have to consider yourself an expert on basketball. I know you hate making predictions, but if you had to make a prediction today, how deep do you think UVA could go in the NCAA tournament?
I think they can get to the second weekend. They can be a Sweet 16 team. The one thing I don't underestimate about this team is, and I wrote a column where the headline was, this team knows how to do 2 things, play defense and win. They don't play offense, unfortunately. And I think that the writing is on the wall there. But Tony Bennett and this group have figured out how to win games without offense. And so that's an important fact to note. These are cases I'm making as a biased observer of this program, but You think back to the Washington Nationals' run to a World Series last year, when they fell behind and were 19-31 in mid-May of last year, and basically every game they played after that was a playoff game because they had no margin for error to not make even just a wild card. And by the time they got through it all, they had been playing such gritty baseball that there's no reason they shouldn't go ahead and win the thing. This Virginia team is very similar. Since that loss to NC State, they've had to. I mean, everybody's been saying you're on the bubble. You might not make the tournament. You have to win every game, and they've gone out and done so. Maybe they're not the most talented. They're not the most talented team in the ACC, even much less the NCAA. But one thing they know how to do is win, and key guys who helped them win last year, they weren't the most important guys on last year's team, but Kihei Clark and Mamadou Diakite, if Kihei doesn't track that loose ball down in the backcourt against Purdue, if he doesn't find Mamadou Diakite, if Diakite doesn't shoot the ball, somehow knowing that the clock was about to expire and it goes in, if that doesn't happen, we don't have that book sitting on my desk over
That's
here.
That's absolutely right.
Those were two key guys. Braxton Key blocked a shot at the end of regulation in the championship game that sent that game to overtime. And so there are guys who were instrumental in those nets being cut down last year that are key guys on this team. And one thing that they have over everybody else is they've got guys who've cut down nets, and few other teams have any idea what it takes to do that. So this Virginia team, I think that from a talent standpoint, to me, the ceiling's probably Sweet 16. But even if they lose in the first round, I got to say, and I don't know that many Virginia fans would agree with me on this right now, because you're still in the glow of a championship and you want another banner hanging up. But I admire the heck out of this year's Virginia team. They've gotten more out of themselves than any team I've ever covered, whether it be basketball, football, baseball, anything I've ever been a part of. This team has gotten more out of itself than any of those teams, and they've been a lot of fun. It's been as much fun covering this team, maybe even a little more so than last year's team. And last year's team cut down banners. I've got confetti upstairs in my podcast studio because of last year's team. This year's team has outworked anything I've ever seen. So congratulations to them already. I hope they can go far. The ceiling's probably a little lower than last year's team, but it should still be a fun ride.
So Virginia is no longer on the bubble, as we said, but NC State and Notre Dame, what do they have to do to actually get into the tournament, in your opinion?
I think Notre Dame probably has to win the ACC tournament. Both those teams have 19-12 records. Both are 10-10 in the ACC. That's where the similarities end. Notre Dame, I just ran the numbers, I'm doing this from memory, but if my memory serves, 2-7 in what they call quadrant one wins, and 2-4 in quadrant two wins. So 4-11 overall against the top two tiers of games this year. NC State 4-5 records in both those realms, 8-10 overall. So that's not a great resume. I'm not sure NC State even is a guaranteed team to get in right now. I think they're very much on the bubble. But Notre Dame has to win. I think has to win the tournament, I think. I don't think that they have any avenue really for even winning a game or two and then sneaking in on the bubble from there. If I'm NC State, your first game, looking at this here, Wake Forest and Pitt is the game that plays into them on Wednesday. They cannot afford a loss in that first Wednesday game. If NC State loses the first game, they're done. If they win that first game, I'm not still sure if I lose the next game to Duke, that's on Thursday at 2:30. I don't know that I sit easy until Sunday, Selection Sunday at 6:30, and finding out my results. I think if NC State is able to win on Wednesday and then able to upset Duke on Thursday, that'd be two wins over Duke. That'd be another Q1 win. I would feel really good if I were NC State at that stage. So I don't know that they need to win the ACC tournament, but I think they have to be playing Friday night. I wouldn't still feel 100% certain if they lose in the semifinals, but I'd feel pretty certain that they would get there. But Notre Dame, again, from Notre Dame on down, everybody else has to win out. And you know what? There's possibilities there that something like that might happen.
So I know AFP contributor Jerry Carter has asked you this question before. I'm going to wrap up with the same question. Worldwide, there's obviously a scare over coronavirus. The ACC women's tournament went on without a hitch this past weekend. NC State winning that in a nail biter of a game that I actually was fortunate enough to watch. It was a great game. But the NCAA tournament, the NCAA tournament's on the horizon, the ACC tournament coming up starting tomorrow. Have there been any talks about coronavirus and any impact on fans attending this game?
No, not that I've seen. And of course, I'm look at my watch right now. 1:30 on Monday. Not to say I'm not looking every time I get a new email that there might not be something like that. In fact, we've seen other leagues in Americans, North American sports leagues, discussing things still as regards, there's an outside possibility that you could see some games played eventually. We're not hearing anything this week, so. But that some games could be played in front of limited crowds or something like that. What I'm reading right now, and this is not related to the ACC tournament, there are discussions in the NBA and NHL about changing the access for reporters to the teams in a way that, and the ACC tournament could, this is where I can bring in the ACC tournament, where media for the NBA and NHL would only be able to access coaches and players in like a main media room. And for those of us college sports writers, that's often the case anyway. At UVA games at JPJ, for example, you don't get access to the locker room. They bring players in to the main media room. So the idea being just to limit the interactivity, limit the proximity, because your locker rooms are closed and some smaller environments. I've not seen the ACC say anything about that. It would not surprise me if that ends up being the case between now and Tuesday, the next 24 hours. But as far as fans, I'm not hearing anything of that nature. And I would think that if there was anything being offered on the horizon coming up, that they would have already dealt with that issue. Now, to say for, the news continues, we continue hearing every day. In fact, we just posted an item about a half hour ago on the AFP site about a third case in Virginia. I don't know personally that the numbers right now in North America justify closing everything down. But, if such measures are necessary, they'll play the games just in front of no crowds. I mean, we're seeing that. I believe there's an Italian soccer league that played its games yesterday in front of on the pitch with no spectators. So that's probably the extent of it. I'm not sure. Again, I'm not sure in North America that we're anywhere near that yet. But this situation is something that I'm literally updating my email and updating my status on Google News, looking up things. As often as I can, because I think this is a rapidly evolving situation.
All right. For Augusta Free Press, I'm Crystal Graham, joined by Chris Graham. Again, we want to invite you to follow our coverage on AugustaFreePress.com, as well as our Facebook and Twitter pages throughout the tournament. Chris, as well as our photographer and Scott German, will be providing insight and photographs kind of to take you to the scene there in Greensboro throughout the week. And hopefully the weekend, you'll be there at least as far as Virginia goes the tournament. So, and then again, follow the aftermath for the NCAA tournament after Selection Sunday. We'll kind of see where Virginia matches up and that kind of thing. We want to again thank our sponsor of our coverage in Greensboro. That's our friends Brian and Victoria Miniger with Bear Creek Home. Again, you can check them out, Bear Creek Outdoor Living, at www.bearcreek.co. Thanks again for tuning in, and have a great day.